You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome back, wrestling fans, one and all. This is the Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast and audio podcast dedicated to the world of professional wrestling news and commentary. I am Aljon Go, as always, joined with our heel commentator and sports historian, pro wrestling historian, Mr. Steven Anthony. Hello, sir.
Good morning. I'm a tweener. I'm not a heel. Like the Macho Man in 86.
Yeah, he was like 50 Shades of Grey over here.
No, I'm not like...
Well, once again, it's been an interesting week in wrestling news. Let's first start off... Well, let's tease everybody what we have going on. We've got WWE news, network news. We've got a Twitter war. You've got more on this whole CM Punk versus the Doctor angle in real life. All right, this is no angle. This is real life.
It's a good angle.
Maybe. It's a damn good one. And then we also will have some other talk here. Steven's grab bag of stuff at the end of the show. So let's go ahead and get into the wrestling headline news for this week.
This week in wrestling news.
Steven, what's on your plate for today?
Raw was weird.
Yes.
It was about 10 miles away. And
we didn't go.
Well, I'm recording an album. You do all these Disney podcasts. You're actually not traveling this week, which is nice.
Yes.
We got a lot going on. And we do love to go to shows at, what did they rename the Amway Center, Bridgestone?
Yeah, the Bridgestone Arena. Now, I was there the following night for Nashville Predators hockey, which, by the way, we kicked ass, which is great.
And you guys are still Predators. In the lead in the division, so that's spectacular. Right.
Yeah, this is going to be our time. Our time is, I hate to say our time is now, but there you go.
Well, I hope you guys win it all. I have my Saints shirt on, and, you know, it was a rough year.
Oh, that's okay. I understand. Well, the Saints are a great team anyway, so needless to say. This past season. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about wrestling. So Raw emanated from the Music City, our hometown, in which we could not attend. However, we were there in spirit. In fact, during the telecast, I was watching, and some of my friends from my day job were wearing T-shirts. Maybe you could see their T-shirts in the audience.
Front row guys, huh?
Yeah, there are a lot of real guys that were wearing the logo, the company logo, making our company proud.
Well, Aljon, you always get us good seats, so I do appreciate you. We're sitting there watching Finley fight Mark Henry. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I remember thinking, Finley's so good. He can make Mark Henry pretty interesting. But
yes. Yeah.
Anyway, Randy Orton comes out to a tremendous pop to start the show. He was left bloody in a bloody heap. What was it about? It wasn't that long ago. It was probably 4 months ago.
Yeah, about then.
And we're all expecting this. And, oh, by the way, Brock Lesnar was promoted to be in the show. And that's a rare thing. We always get excited about that. And, yes. You know, Orton comes out like, you know, script-wise, we're going to go ahead and turn him. Why do you need to turn him? He comes out with a bigger pop than anyone in the show. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, since he hasn't been around for months.
The internet craze with people, you know, putting the picture of him RKOing everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
RKO out of nowhere, yeah.
You didn't need to do anything. They're a little out of touch with the outside world. That might be it. You know,
it's just a great move. I mean, he's very explosive. I think he's a great talent on the mic and off the mic. In fact, now that I feel that maybe they've let him go a little bit, that he's not being too scripted. You can see sometimes the wheels in his head are turning,
right?
You know, but I believe that he feels more natural. He knows what he needs to do and that it doesn't come off so scripted like other people's promos. So I think he's doing a great job.
He's the closest thing to Jake the Snake type of tweener that they have. And that's great.
Agreed. Yes.
So here we go. We go into the show and, you know, he's like, the crowd's just loving him. And I'm thinking, well, he RKOs everybody. He probably attempts an RKO on Stephanie. They pull her out. He's off and running. Rollins versus Orton. One of the best undercard matches they've had in years for WrestleMania, because they're really not good at undercard matches on WrestleMania because they set up four killer main events that he can show. But that's not what they did. You know, he kind of was playing around. They do some backstage segments. It looks like he's going to turn. And then by the end of the show, he leaves to absolutely no pop whatsoever to his music. Stupid. Yep.
They're confused.
I was confused, and then I hear this story, and you know, I Dave Meltzer is really the only person who had any knowledge of it, and no one really knows what happened, and it could be a tremendous angle, okay?
Yes.
But, you know, he came into Nashville ready to go. He doesn't work a lot of dates. He has four dates left on his big contract. They fly him in on a private jet, by the way. That's part of his contract.
Nice.
You know, I bet the divas like seeing that, you know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They get paid comparatively or anyone.
We'll talk about that later.
Absolutely. That's yeah. He apparently had, apparently they're talking about his contract, which again, we're all hoping that he re-signs because he has been a tremendous asset to every pay-per-view he's been on. Great matches with John Cena, which was one of the best matches I've seen in years. I think it was back in 2011. At what was it, Extreme Rules? And great match. If you ever want to go on the network and check that out again, that's worth it. Great matches with Punk, Triple H. The only bad match was the Taker match from WrestleMania, but none of that mattered because it had the most shocking ending in any match in history, really. I mean, the reaction in New Orleans to him pinning The Undertaker was absolutely profound.
Yes.
I was sitting there like,
oh, we all looked like that dude with our hands on our head going, what did I just see? I mean, Kristen couldn't even believe it. It's like, really? Undertaker did the favors? Wow. Amazing.
I think he knew he was hurt and he was going to have a rough match. And he said, look, here's the situation, Vince. And Vince is like, but this all ties into Roman Reigns.
I don't agree with that.
You don't? It all ties into Roman Reigns. We do know that.
Oh, that's true. But I believe that the whole WrestleMania thing, why he did that was because they wanted to pop the network. It was a complete network move. They wanted people to see what was going on, and they wanted a long-lasting impression for the launch of the network, and there's nothing bigger than ending the streak for people to sign up and say, what the hell happened? I want to see this match.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah, we're still talking about it.
The greatest character and worker they've ever had, the longevity of the gimmick, his ability to have incredible matches for 25 years, four straight WrestleManias, he had the best match, easily. One of the greatest characters in history.
Yes.
Anyway, Lesnar was having this contract talk. They got into the nitty-gritty of it. And, you know, Vince is not the easiest guy to negotiate with. You know, he is very much like his character on TV in real life, from what I've been told. Probably not as evil. Probably. I don't know. If you ask Wendy Richter or, Adam Bomb, they might not say that. I don't know.
Adam Bomb. That's great.
Yeah. I heard a great Scott Hall story real quick from Kevin Nash. They go in the back when Adam Bomb's with Diesel. They're pushing Diesel. And he hated the Click, which is Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, Kevin Nash, Diesel,
Sean.
Vince comes up to him and goes, he was doing the powerbomb finisher, Adam Bomb. He goes, hey, we're going to go ahead and let Big Daddy Diesel do your finisher now, so you don't do that anymore. He had a tattoo put in his arm. It said Adam Bomb. So Scott Hall, who was in his heyday in prime, not so out of control like he is now, walks up to him supposedly backstage and he says, you should add a D onto the end of your tattoo. And he walked off.
Oh, Christ.
Like, Adam Bomb, you just lost your power bomb. You're done. And
you're done. Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely hilarious and very Click-like. Anyway, this talk they had did not go well. And he was advertised up until 6:45 Central Time, 15 minutes before Raw. He's on the show. The show's written. And I think that's what happened. He left in his jet probably around when they were, you know, in the second or third hour of the show, and he was off.
Oh, jeez.
And it's a problem. they better figure out. I don't know what's going on. Nobody knows. But if that's they awesome. Don't figure it out in a couple of weeks. But is it an angle? No. What a tremendous angle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Bryan could be written as a champion. Or, you know, Seth Rollins. Who knows?
Well, you know, Rollins.
Well, probably not Rollins after the whole Instagram debacle. But
let's not talk about that. I saw
let's
that.
Let's not. I didn't, and I'm still not going to see it. So, moving forward.
Well, he's yeah, don't, yeah. Anyway, terrible, terrible. But, you know, you could see Brian against Reigns again or something.
We could, for sure.
I rewatched the match and on the network. And it's really a great match, the main event of Payback. Payback? Fastlane. Yeah, I watched it real close. I thought Reigns showed tremendous promise, you know, in that match, and Bryan was great, but this ends Daniel Bryan's main event thing. That's it.
Yeah.
Because we also found out on Raw, I'm sorry, we found out on SmackDown, or alluded to in Raw, that he will actually be in an Intercontinental multi-man match of some sort at WrestleMania. And that's just sad. You know, it's really sad what's happened to him. And, you know, anyway, Lesnar has to come up with something. I think he's pretty old to fight shoot style MMA UFC. He makes a lot of money with Vince, and it's probably a small little thing. Lesnar's a tough cookie to deal with. He will take his ball and go home. I'm confident they'll re-sign him. I'm confident he'll stick around, you know, and maybe do a return match at SummerSlam. We could see, I think everyone would love to see Seth Rollins versus Lesnar for the title, because Rollins had, before his picture at least, been scheduled to win the title, I'd heard, sometime in June. So they had actually planned, before the Undertaker loss, Reigns to win the title a year later, which is why I've heard Lesnar won that match, to build up Lesnar for Reigns to win the title from a year later. Rollins gets the title from Reigns, screwjob fashion with the Money in the Bank, and that sets up Rollins-Reigns for the title. Now,
right.
Is Reigns over enough to carry the company?
I don't believe so. Yeah.
So I think that's why Raw was so strange, you know?
Well, it did have its hits, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Brock Lesnar, obviously not there, but you know, John Cena's promo wasn't that bad, actually.
It was great, actually. Now that he's a mid-card,
look at it.
I really love his act now.
It's funny, because I believe now that's like the pressure's relieved off John Cena to have to deliver all the time. And now that I feel that his pressure has been released, it's like, dude, this is the real John Cena. And coincidentally, as I was researching, you know, a lot of people forget that John Cena was heel early on in his career during the Ruthless Aggression era, you know?
Great heel.
And he was cutting some awesome promos. I may have to tag some of those promos at the end of this show for this week, or at least maybe next week, because we need to start doing promo of the week and just come up with a tag for the end of the show that people dig, because I love promos.
Well, I know what mine is.
Yeah, well, I know what yours is. I think that may be the promo for this week. I may have to tag that onto this one.
Right.
Just because it's so epic. If we're going to do one promo of the week, let's start off with a bang. So we'll let you introduce that at the end.
Okay.
But Bray Wyatt versus R-Truth. Okay, strange.
Bray Wyatt versus R-Truth.
Was it R-Truth? Yeah. Right? Yeah.
No, I thought he pinned Ziggler. Am I wrong about that?
I think we got this here. I mean, we had to...
We'll edit this up. Wyatt's getting smashed over until his match. You know, I can tell you that. R-Truth, I remember, was doing the commentary on the Bad News Barrett latest dumb match. You know, I do remember that. I'm surprised they threw R-Truth in on that, by the way. I mean, I guess he's the guy doing the job in the Intercontinental Tornado, whatever it is, match.
Mm-hmm.
But Bray Wyatt is one of their best assets right now. They can't screw him up. They finally have a guy that could be the Undertaker. You know, he writes his own promos. He's one of the only guys they let do that. And you can see from, you know, I always talk about Mid-South UWF and NWA being so wonderful. That's because they did their own promos. And he's one of the few guys that they let do that. He actually has his own material, and he's tremendous. I thought Stephanie was excellent on the show, as usual.
Curtis Axel.
Great.
Axelmania. Wow.
Why do they bury this kid? What's the point?
I don't know, but I feel like every week he's actually doing better. God bless him. It's not easy to do what he's doing. It's not easy. It's not easy to go out there with a legacy on your shoulders and to have this material set in front of him saying, okay, you're going to do this. And it's not easy. But, you know, if he's going to be the Slater of 2015, then so be it, you know.
Well, his dad, when he was his age, was fighting Nick Bockwinkel, 5-star matches that went 60 minutes with double juice.
There you go.
Okay. So he ain't like his dad, and I don't mean to diss him. I mean, his dad was one of the best ever. Pretty much kept AWA gone for a couple of more months.
Pretty much. The thing is that I think that he has not had a chance to rise to the occasion, and he does the very best with what he's got. And I think a lot of that has to do with the writers, where they're positioned, where those mid-carders and those curtain jerkers are positioned. I mean, the writers are the ones having to give him this, and they really, when it comes to quote unquote grabbing the brass ring, making the best of it, you know, there's some people that just are not like, they really don't know how to twist it and be produced. I mean, I really feel that between the writers and the segment producers, they need to do a better job of actually getting with the talent. And the talent also needs to feel motivated to get with the producers in order to get the best segments possible. And I think that no one has really had the mentoring, you know.
They gave him Heyman. That's a promo guy to mentor. But, you know, they punished him. They're like, we're pushing you really hard. They don't give him a lot of good material. He does a couple of jobs. And they do this to everybody. And then they go, you didn't get over. You didn't get over. We gave you an opportunity. You had a match with Triple H on Raw for 4 minutes. And then they punish him for a damn year. Again, like I said on our recap of Fastlane, Vince's daddy, and everybody has to listen. You know, and you know, just a really strange organization sometimes, the way they do things. You know,
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, before I forget, because we are known to do tangents here on this program. Right. Have you ever, you know, Vince has this idea, I believe, in my heart of hearts, that the talent that will rise to the very top are going to be people that he makes. In other words, those John Cenas. You know what I mean? For example, CM Punk was never going to get a full shake, and neither will Daniel Bryan, because they had been doing indies for so long, and they know, and they've been established, and even though they go through the system and they learn the WWE way and add that to their bag of tricks, I don't think they could ever make it to the quote-unquote face of the company like, you know, maybe the Randy Orton would at some point. You know what I mean?
This is a business matter strictly. When you're John Cena, you're called the prototype. I forget John Cena's real name. When you come in, they're like, you're not getting called the prototype. You're called John Cena. Why? Because we're going to sell a handful of t-shirts every couple of minutes at those concession stands. And that's a tremendous point to make about them. They want to own every name. Bray Wyatt, they own that name. Samoa Joe, they don't own that name. CM Punk, they don't own that name. He used that in Ring of Honor. His name originally was Christ Messiah Punk. And he's like straight edge. It's like the singer from Minor Threat is a wrestler. And that actually really appealed to me, you know, more and more.
By the way, it's John Felix Anthony.
That's my name. Oh, wait, that's not my name. You have a
John Phoenix
real, right? Because mine's not.
Oh, no. My name is not real. We're breaking kayfabe, dude.
I've known you 7 years. That's not your name.
Hold on, it's not my real name. It's my nickname. I've been using that name. It's been a nickname of mine since I was a kid, and I've been
conversation that we're having.
Yeah, I've been using it for, and then I've got you know, Aljon. Yeah, that is funny, isn't it? And Aljon was the name I used in radio forever. So.
Well, I don't know if I ever pointed this out. I'm from the swamps of Thibodaux, Louisiana, right next to Raceland, Louisiana.
That's awesome.
And people back home are like, you changed your name? And then people in Nashville are like, do you have any ideas for a new name? You know? That's where Steven Streets came from.
Oh, that's great.
My good friend Josh Seals, he's one of the best bass players I've ever heard. He said, you need a new name, right? And I'm like, I said, I need a new name. Steven Berger is pronounced like burger when you look at it. Yeah. I went by Steven Anthony, and you know, because that's my middle name and my grandfather's name, and he was awesome and all that, you know, so it's kind of my name. My family was angry at me. I remember my aunts were like, how dare you take away our family name? And I'm like, oh, you don't get it. And he says to me, well, let's think of some name, blah, da, 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 da. And he says, how about Stephen Streets? I said, Stephen Streets? And then I turned that into a rather odd internet character. Yeah, that's a bit of a, now you want to talk about a tangent. Okay, well, maybe after the show you can tell me your real name. these aren't our names. I am, my name is Stephen.
I love it. It's great.
My name is Stephen.
So anyway.
That was, yes, John Cena's name. Boy, I got to backtrack far. The, yes, rapper gimmick, right. He was tremendous as a heel.
The rapper gimmick, yeah.
He was a tremendous
heel. True.
I loved him. I remember his match with Eddie Guerrero on SmackDown in 2003. I remember thinking, boy, he's killer. They did an AA, yes, on a tire at one point. It was really a cool.
Oh, that was really good, man. It was great.
And I knew he was going to be a big. I knew from the first match he did with Kurt Angle, about a 5-minute long match, and he came out like some jabroni, some J-bron, as Conan would say.
Yeah.
And, love Conan. And
it was a great match, though.
It was killer. And it was like, well, this guy's the real thing, you know? We, yeah, just have to see what they do with him.
Yeah.
What, well, a brilliant idea, by the way. An Eminem-like white rapper, so to say, was getting big in 2000. And that was the perfect thing to usher in that era. And that's why he's the top babyface. Now, that had some foresight, some outside viewpoint of what was going to happen. And he main invented everything. And let me tell you something. When I was in Bridgestone, well, there was, I think it was called Sommet back then. When Cena came out, I think it was 2006. When he came out, I'd always seen his pop on TV and heard he had heat face, baby face heat. Unbelievable pop. The heat is the intensity of the volume in the arena or the room, whatever it may be. His heat was off the chart. And I said, okay, yeah, now I get it. Everybody's interested in this guy for good or for bad.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But by the way, I said, oh, he might have to go heel. Let me tell you something. They might have to turn him back to being the world champ if they keep booking like this, because their booking is really bizarre.
Well, there are other options out there. I really believe it. It's just a matter of them actually believing in the people that they hire.
Well, then they can.
And I believe that for someone that has paid their dues, that has been a slow, you know, been on the crock pot for many, many years, someone like a Dolph Ziggler, it could actually happen. You know, hell, I could even see, you know, Ryback coming back into the title picture if they were able to capitalize on some of the momentum that they did several months ago after Survivor Series.
Well, Ryback had a nice squash the other night, which was great. Look, you really only have a few options, honestly. You have Cena. That's your backup plan. That's like Ultimate Warrior blew it. Let's go back to Hogan. That's that, mm-hmm, type of thing. Reigns, right, reminds me so much of Diesel in 94.
You think? Totally.
How did that go down? Let me give, yeah, you a little hint. They lost $4 million in 1995 fiscal year, 94-95 fiscal year, which is basically his title run.
Yeah.
$4 million. Their houses were 1,000, 2,000 a night. And look what but here's my point. Reigns doesn't pull it off, right? Mm-hmm. Reigns has all of this, you know, negative heat, positive heat, mid-card heat. You don't know till you get the guy in there. Just put the damn belt on him and see what he does. But don't, right, book him stupid. Just stop booking him so stupid. It's back and forth. To me, they experiment a lot on the show. He got the negative heat at Royal Rumble. They made him job to Big Show in 5 minutes. They gave Brian a chance. But what they realized was Brian's heat had dissipated. The crowd has had enough. And when he lost at Fastlane, that was it. The crowd's like, mm-hmm, they're not going to do it. Yeah. So go with Reigns, see what he does. Because Kevin Nash lost them $4 million. I'm just saying that because he was the champ. I mean, it was Shawn Michaels, Nash, everybody. Their industry was down. But what did Nash end up doing? He ended up in 1996, 97, 98, being one of the biggest draws for a company that never drew. And he was tremendous, right, and he changed his character. He tweaked it. He acted a little more like himself. He was hanging out with Scott Hall, smoking dope, drinking, coming out and being himself, and it worked.
Yeah, just remember, that's all allegedly.
That's completely alleged.
Alleged. This podcast is made for entertainment purposes.
I am basing that strictly on information that Kevin Nash delivered in a shoot interview that I watched. I have no idea if that's true. And I'm not saying he said that now or ever has done that. There's absolutely no proof of that. He may have been working us all. We know these wrestlers like to work. What I meant was simply that's the type of character he had created. Did that get us out of trouble?
So be it. We have no money.
All right. Do not sue me for $2 million. By the way, that's the amount.
Wow. Okay.
Colt Cabana is being sued for $2
million. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, Raw, confusing. You know, like I said, there were some highlights of the show, but overall it was kind of confusing. We had, you know, I don't know, it was just a really weird show. And you're right, it was just weird, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think they had to rewrite it. And they were, I think they were going to do the quick, I'm guessing they were going to do the quick turn. He's going to RK them all at the beginning or middle or end of the show. They didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
They had to put it off till next, wait till next week type of vibe. And I understand. I'm very understanding of their product because I know a lot about, and you do too, about what it's like to edit a project, be it something you're writing, be it something you're performing at a show, be it an album you're creating. Sometimes things right. come up. Why isn't your album sounding that good? Well, the guy couldn't produce it, and I had to finish the track on my own, and I was running out of time. You know, yeah. You can't control factors. And that I think that's what happened with Raw. It was a decent enough show. They had some good moments on it, you know. But all in all, you know, I think they've done a good job of setting everything up for the future. Cena and Rusev has good heat. I'm actually very interested in this Intercontinental thing they got going. You know, they gave Ziggler something to do. They gave Bryan sure. something to do. They gave Ambrose something to do. And that's what I was wondering. Like, what the hell are they going to do with these guys? But they will have a killer match at WrestleMania, yeah. whatever they end up doing. Hopefully that's
I totally agree. Speaking of Ziggler, how about the hashtags? Give Truth a chance. Give Truth a chance. I miss old R-Truth. I really do. He had so much going for him, and now, you know, he's in a later part of his stage of his career, and he's a great guy to help people learn how to work. You know, we know he's the mechanic, you know, these days, but give Truth a chance. I thought that was brilliant. Awesome.
Well, if he doesn't
hashtag that.
Well, if this latest semi push doesn't work, he may actually have to be a mechanic soon. I'm sorry.
He might be. Definitely. And the Ascension, I was going to say, the Ascension also going up against the newly reformed, you know, Primetime Players, which yeah. I was always a big fan of.
Yeah.
You know, now that they're back, Titus is outstanding. Darren Young's a great guy. And now that they have some stuff going on, I would like to see this kind of heat up. I mean, I feel like the Ascension needs some, you know, something like this, because right now it's just like, I think it's just too over the top, you know.
They remind me of the Blade Runners from UWF. I mean, their makeup isn't good enough or something. I don't know.
Well, if they're going to do Demolition, for Christ's sake, just do it. You know?
Well, you know, here's what the Road Warriors did in Georgia. They would come out and they didn't know how to work too well yet, and they would beat people up. And Ole Anderson, who's a tremendous booker in Georgia and NWA, said, just beat him up if you don't know how to work. It worked. Well, look, we already have a loss here. You know, I would like to see them do something with the Primetime Players. I think they're pretty entertaining, and I think it's something good to do with the lower mid-card guys. So you have the Ascension, you have the Primetime Players, you have the Usos, you have the newly crowned champions, who actually had a tremendous match as well on Raw. Another pretty good match, not nearly as good as the pay-per-view, but they seem to be keeping that feud going. You know, I'd like to see a four tag team match before WrestleMania with those four teams probably in the pre-show. I think that would entice people to watch the show. You know, I'm not sure if that'll make the show. That's really a question. But that's kind of like one of those bubble matches. But, you know, they're doing good stuff with that. They're kind of Tyson Kidd seems to be active in playing the heelish type of part of this gimmick or whatever they're doing, I guess, similar to his. Is that pretty similar to his Total Divas gimmick?
Yes, totally.
That's a good idea. I'm glad they gave him something to do. That was, you know, I watched our podcast again, and you had predicted that would be a really good match, and you were right.
Yeah,
about that.
You know, well, you have two guys that know how to work. I mean, Cesaro is always brilliant to watch. He's always doing new things. He's an explosive wrestler. Same goes for Tyson Kidd. Once again, those two guys are explosive as a tag team. You know, power, strength, speed, everything you could ever want out of a performer. And for people that still believe, you know, and a lot of the superstars that have retired that are still criticizing WWE, I will say this, the tag team division has been strong now for a couple years. And I feel, even though that they may not play an important segment, they don't play up the titles as much, it doesn't mean that they don't have great tag teams. And I think that Primetime Players was always a favorite tag team of mine. Usos, Goldust, Stardust, even though they're not a tag team anymore, were always great, you know, so they've had at least loss. Yeah, another Cody loss. How about that? But anyway, just to wrap things up on the tag teams, I think they always have at least five or six, you know, really good tag teams. Yeah. And I don't know how many tag teams people need to be convinced, need to be around in order to become a division for tag team wrestling, but they are there. So hopefully they can, bring the belt to more, you know, a higher level in terms of standing within the public's view of the belts or the championships, I should say. So
I may be wrong, but I think that's a Triple H Vince sort of argument. I think Triple H pushes for those tag teams to some degree. You got great guys like Arn Anderson in the back that can get you going with that. And Vince likes to push a singular entity in that he likes to narrow spotlight the focus, I've heard that he says, on one entertainer and push them all the way, you know. But, you know, when they had the Shield and the Wyatts going on, you know, I started to think they've got it down. So, yeah, I do think the tag team division is a lot better. And, you know, they got a lot of teams out there.
Yeah, tag teams and stables. I think it's great. Bring back stables. I liked the three-person stable, you know, and, you know, it can be done. You know, right now they're doing a three-person stable with a whole, you know, Usos versus Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, you know, situation that's going on. Mm-hmm. I think there's room for another, you know, great stable. I think, you know, other than the Authority, you know, I mean,
right now we know that
the Authority runs. Yeah, they're a good stable, you know, so, you know, that's good stuff. Bella Twins, because I know we hadn't talked about that, because, you know, our girl Paige, you know, Miss I'm going to take like two hellacious bumps during the pay-per-view. Yeah, she had something going on, but her tag team partner Emma did the job, poor thing. She was better back at NXT.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to, those NXT folks, they kind of work them into walk them into the water, so to speak, unless they bust them out like they did the Shield, which was excellent. And I can't wait to see, by the way, another NXT stable come back out. I think if they did the Nexus type of thing over again, I don't know, I guess you couldn't do it twice, but they got a lot of great guys in NXT. We need to talk more about that in the future, but
we will.
You know, the Bellas, I assume they're wanting to set up some sort of women's match for WrestleMania, you know, and we talked a lot about them using women's wrestlers in odd ways. And I talked about Stephanie and this and that. And then we talked a lot about Paige actually having a very good match. And they need to set up, maybe they'll have I don't know what they're doing with that. Are they setting up a rematch for WrestleMania, you think?
I would think so. I think so. I tell you what, you've got a WrestleMania card that we can definitely talk about. But let me just quickly run through the results, because I was an idiot and didn't bring up that page. But Dolph Ziggler defeated Bad News Barrett. The Primetime Players defeated The Ascension. Usos with Naomi defeated Tyson Kidd and Cesaro with Natalya in a DQ for the Tag Team Championships.
Yeah.
Swagger defeated Stardust, as you had alluded to. Stardust back to wearing a jumpsuit instead of going, you know, with the tights.
Yeah,
interesting stuff. Yeah, he's always got the cool ring gear, man. Bella Twins, defeated Emma and Paige. Ryback defeated Curtis Axel. Interesting promo there from the Ryback and Curtis Axel both. Good stuff. I love it. And Ryback is great.
Yeah.
I mean, when Ryback actually popped the crowd, because he actually worked in the Nashville Predators into his promo, so good for him.
Well, he was smart enough to know the Predators, you know, we don't have a lot of sports teams in town, and the Titans are pretty rough as far as football teams go. The Predators have the real support of the street people of Nashville. Titans have a lot of support, but it's more like, hey, remember when Steve McNair, and, you know, it's two wins doesn't do that. The Preds are what people are into for the most part, sports wise here. So that was wise of him. Yeah. Very wise.
Yeah, Ryback is a smart guy. I'm jumping on board Ryback, and I feel that I need to get him on the show. That's what we need to do. We'll talk to Ryback. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns defeated Orton and Rollins with the Authority, of course, there. And in a dark match, Bryan, Ambrose, Cena, Reigns defeated Wyatt and the Authority, including the Big Show and Kane. So, you know, they sent the people home happy, of course.
They're good about their dark matches.
So,
putting a good end.
Yes, absolutely. Well, having said that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how TNA shapes up. But before we get into everything else, because we don't have a whole lot of time, but let's go ahead and talk about your lineup, your thoughts on WrestleMania and how the card's building.
Well, you have your, I would call it five big matches. They're going to eventually turn Orton like they should. And it might be too late, but they should have done it at the moment, said, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. He should have, you know, kicked him in the head, should have incapacitated all of the authority, beat him to death, kicked the dude in the head. Boom, we're off and running. Rollins versus Orton. And I don't know who does the J-O-B in that. I think you have to keep Orton strong. You know, you don't have a lot of really killer guys on the baby face or heel. I mean, I don't know. It's such a mess. They have so many talented guys. They just need to get them squared away. That's a killer match. Undertaker against Wyatt. I'm hearing now that we're not going to see Taker on TV. I don't know if that's true or not. You'd have to put him the last damn show before, right?
Well, I tell you what they may do. You know, they may do that. I think it would be great if they did a segment with Taker exclusive to the WWE Network.
That might be what we see.
I mean, let's face it. They need to do everything possible to get subscriptions up before WrestleMania. And what better way to do it than have a sit-down discussion or a Stone Cold podcast, for example, with Undertaker exclusive to the WWE Network? That was a free one there, Vince. So feel free to use that idea.
You don't break character, bro.
Dude, honestly, I would pay $10 to see a shoot interview style with Stone Cold Steve Austin on the WWE Network. Everyone would pay $10 to see that. And if it ran an hour, if it ran 2 hours, even better, because you could literally spend a one or two parter talking to the big man about everything. And, you know, Stone Cold and Undertaker would be an amazing, amazing thing. And he doesn't do podcasts, so that would be awesome. WWE, make it happen.
That would probably be the best possible shoot podcast you could see. I know they're friends. Taker doesn't like to break character, but at this point, if he retired, I don't see an issue with it. He's very old school, very much like the Sheik was. Not the Iron Sheik, but the Sheik.
The Sheik, yeah.
He never broke character. I saw a match where he beat Andre the Giant with a fireball. I mean, this guy was everything. You know why the Sheik was?
I tell you, go ahead.
He never broke character. Because he never broke character.
Characters matter, according to the Sheik. You know, the Sheik taught Stone Cold how to be a character, you know? So, makes a lot of sense. So, let's talk about the rest of your build here.
Okay, so that, I assume that'll be a match. I hear he's in great shape. Apparently, there was an Instagram photo of Taker. He looked great. I think they've been flim-flamming us, as usual. Rusev's going to fight Cena again. You know, that should be good. They had a really good match. It didn't blow me away, but Rusev's looking better and better every week. We're going to have a multi-person IC title match. It looks like they're setting up. I know Barrett and Ambrose will be in it. They're going to put in Bryan and Ziggler. You know, I know that much. They could throw in any other people you want. I think your buddy R-Truth is being put in here. I think they want to make it six people, so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a surprise guest like perhaps Miz, and then at the last second they jump him or something, and then Miz Dow comes out to a big pop. I thought that would be really fun. Something like that. I think it'll be six.
I tell you what would be great is if Miz Dow actually, you know, after years of working these horrible gimmicks and making the best ever thing happen out of some crappy gimmick, this would be an awesome place for him to shine. Finally. Give that man his due, for heaven's sake.
Because Brian doesn't need a title. Ambrose doesn't need a title. Barrett had the title. Has the title, sorry.
That's right. His reign's short, bro.
Yeah, they treat him bad. He just loses every damn week, and he's too scared to get his title back. I mean, I don't know. I don't even care about him. They're going to do the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, okay?
Yes, and the participants have been named.
Well, let's say they throw in every human being that works for the company that's not been named for any angles. That would be a good place for Miz Dow to shine if they didn't do it in the Intercontinental title match. You know, might be a good time to introduce some NXT guys. You know, I could see that happening. I could see them doing a number of things with that. I like the fact that they're putting over Andre the Giant. He's such a wonderful figure through history. He's done so many great things for wrestling. And, you know, it's a pretty cool gimmick. I think they blew it a little bit by having a guy win it that they didn't push. But, you know, they lost faith in it was Cesaro. Very quickly. I don't know what's going to happen with the tag team title or the women's title. You know, I can see the title changing hands again in both.
Right.
Will they get on the main show? I'm not so sure about that. I think both of those matches are in jeopardy of not being on WrestleMania. Okay.
I believe that now, because of the controversy that we'll be talking about later,
right,
they are going to have to put the women on stage this year.
Right.
Somehow there has to be a representation. Now I feel that they can do a women's title lumberjill match and everybody can get involved, and as long as there's a clear winner, someone clears the ring, people are, you know, recovering from a dive, they do the finish move, clean win, 1-2-3, we crown a brand new Divas champion.
I got a WrestleMania women's match that'll draw money. You ready?
Go for it.
AJ,
return of Lita.
AJ versus Stephanie McMahon.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Money in the bank.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Money in the bank. And we might see some stiff shots.
I think that would draw money amazingly. So we're going to move on to that here in a second. So we are, and then of course the last match of the whole pay-per-view, or not maybe the whole pay-per-view, but Sting and Triple H.
Will that be the last match, you think?
I don't know if it's going to be the last match. It has a possibility of being the second main event or the third. It would be maybe the opening. Okay, I'll put it like this. It could be closer to the main beginning, first hour match, main event, because you have the title, you know, on the line, which will be huge. Plus, you have the Undertaker match will be huge. So if you tentpole those 3 hours of the pay-per-view, right, and you go trips on the first hour, right, Undertaker second hour, and the title the last hour, those are your 3 hour pay-per-view.
And then, right? And then you can squeeze in Rollins and Norton in the middle of those two, and then you can squeeze in the Intercontinental match in the middle of the early hour, and then in the last hour you squeeze in Rusev Cena. You see what I'm saying? You're going to have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I don't see where the women in the tag team fits into this whole picture.
No.
I don't see it happening.
It's tight. So, I mean, I feel that they're going to have to, somebody's going to be regulated to the pre-show, you know?
It'll probably be the tag team match. I think it will.
Yeah.
And I think you're right about the controversy, and I never thought of that. That's a good point. And then, of course, the title match will be Lesnar against Reigns. That'll be the main event. They'll give him a lot of time. They'll give him big grand entrances. And we better hope that Lesnar's contractually obligated to do that. He will be in breach of contract, and he'll be on the show no matter what he decides to do. But that match will dictate a lot of how their contract, you know, kind of back and forth goes. And this could all be a great angle by Vince, you know, and the Twitter war that we're going to talk about could be a great angle too, you know. They set up things on Twitter these days.
I know, right? They really do. They do a great job at it. They're working everybody. So WrestleMania looking like at least a decent card, built on, you know, at least five matches, you know, four of them going to be totally marquee matches, something that we've never seen before. Sting's moment, you know, we're going to talk about those predictions closer to the event, but it is shaping up to be a good one for sure.
It'll be a good match of six killer matches with killer heat and a couple of, and it'll be fine. They don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. I think it'll be worth the money. If you're going to be going there, you've got the access event, you've got this, that, and the other. It's going to be great. You know, I made a huge mistake by not attending WrestleMania the past couple times in Orlando, Florida. And make no mistake about it, when it comes back around to the East Coast, I'm going to do my very best, and Steven and I will do our very best to go to WrestleMania. We're going to take our wives with us because they like wrestling, and we're going to have a great weekend of it. So, okay.
That would be
killer. The next big headline that we're going to talk about is AJ Lee. This is an interesting story. The whole CM Punk versus Dr. Angle thickens. We've got the whole AJ Lee thing, so let's go ahead and talk about AJ Lee versus Stephanie real quick over Twitter, the Twitter wars, if you will.
Okay, you know, AJ basically just, it's very simple. You know, Stephanie tweeted that she supports, Patricia Arquette's little promo, you know, on the Oscars about women.
On the Oscars.
Yeah, equal pay, equal rights, right?
Yes.
And he just says, well, you don't pay the divas enough money. Now, Stephanie replied a bit later, probably after consulting with people, thank you for your opinion. You're cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if this doesn't. First of all, I'm quite shocked that AJ Lee would do this.
I'm not.
Really? Okay.
I am
not. You're not shocked? That's a hell of a thing to tell him.
It really is. But once again, I feel like we're being worked. So
you think this is a work?
I think it's a work.
Good work.
Look, okay. So, look, as you said, okay, here's the quote. Yeah, Stephanie Mann, of course. Stephanie McMahon said what you said to Patricia Arquette responding about female empowerment. And AJ right. Lee specifically says, your female wrestlers have record selling merchandise, have starred in the highest rated segment of the show several times, Lee wrote, and yet they receive a fraction of the wages in screen time for the majority of the male roster.
Right.
WWE AJ Lee, you know.
Okay, and, where did this you is a response to her saying not that much on TV, by the way. That's not true.
Well, what she did say was, in terms of merchandise, it is possible. I mean, I know the Bella merchandise, AJ Lee merchandise sells a lot because they put it out there. There is no other Divas merchandise out there that's being visible right now.
I think I know what she's referring to. When they pushed her to the main event, do you remember that when they pushed her for about a month? Like, she yes. was the main event of the show, and she was popping ratings. And I think that's yes. what she's referring to.
I
now, in
that,
TNA, yes. the women's... TNA for years, the women's matches got the biggest ratings. Gail Kim. Yeah,
and they're great. I mean, the women talent at TNA is great. I like their wrestlers. They're great wrestlers.
Right.
Great performers.
And then what was Stephanie's, do you have her retort?
Yes. Specifically, Stephanie McMahon responds via Twitter, at WWE AJ Lee, I appreciate your opinion. #, use your voice.
Okay.
So, that was her thing. However, there is also a Vince McMahon tweet as well.
Really? I didn't know that.
I believe Vince McMahon had tweeted something about, someone had said something about the Divas not being featured in WWE's. Vince McMahon even tweeted back, I think you'll like something like, you'll, you know, keep watching, you know, as in, I believe we're going to, you know, in other words, the implication is that they will feature more Divas in prominent roles, more meaningful storylines, etc. That's the implication. But, you know,
quick side story that alludes to this. Quick side story that makes this possibly a work. John Moxley, I can't believe I said John Moxley. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose.
See, I told you I was a mark. Dean Ambrose was on a podcast. I think it was Y2J. He said that he was going to do a match with Foley. Foley failed the physical. This was very recent, maybe within the last 18 months. Foley failed the physical.
That's true.
How they started it was he sent a tweet saying, blah, 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 he ain't hardcore. And he actually just put it on Twitter. And no, I'm sorry. He went to an event, a signing event, and just kind of cut a promo. And then they leaked it on Twitter. Okay? So that's a very underground way to get it leaked into the groundwater like a shoot. I hope that's what's happening. But I don't think that would be the case because it makes Stephanie look pretty bad.
Yes, but regardless, it doesn't matter because it's all a work. I mean, the whole thing with CM Punk and this doctor thing, you don't think that they're just trying to like, I'm one of those, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't think that's a work. I don't think you file a lawsuit as a work. I think that's a different level.
You see, I'm one of those people that I can't believe anything that comes from this industry. I can't. I enjoy speculating and talking about it, but I can't ever believe it because it's for me entertaining, you know? I mean, that someone would go, does someone to the level of a CM Punk who is married to AJ Lee, for them to still have some type of working relationship with WWE where the video is still on the WWE network. CM Punk's video is still on the WWE network. All right. They're still making money off CM Punk merchandise.
Right.
They're still making money off AJ Lee merchandise. Now, if I was the chairman of the board and someone screwed me, I'd say, fuck you. Guess what? I'm getting rid of this shit. You know? I'm saying none of that. And, you know.
But you can't take down a whole pay-per-view from a year ago either.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the CM Punk story, the DVD.
I am too. I mean, Royal Rumble is what you're... Are you referring to the lawsuit and the thing on his back that was supposed to be the size of a golf ball?
Yeah.
Their whole point is that if you watch the Royal Rumble, he doesn't have a thing on his back the size of a golf ball.
Yeah, totally. And I think, too, with the CM Punk Best in the World, you know, story still being on the network, the merchandise still being sold. I mean, I don't know. I just feel that we're all being worked. That may be a legitimate thing, but once again, these legitimate things have a way of working out so it's best for the business no matter what. They can spin it any way they can. You know, these people are in the carny business, for heaven's sake. They can spin it anything, you know?
So. Well, maybe I'm a mark, but I think this is all a way... You know, the psychology of this is hurt him through his friend. You know, Colt Cabana does not, $2 million is a lot of money. There's even another suit of some sort. I'm I don't want to get all technical and not sound like I know what I'm sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I don't think you can file a lawsuit for an angle like of that magnitude. The doctor is still employed by WWE, and I think they want Punk to either they just want to hurt him any way they can, and they want to defame him the way they were defamed, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And the end result of what they want is they want Triple H to not look bad like he did in that podcast, and Triple H and Vince, and this is their way of doing it. They felt slighted, like they felt like they lost that money. You know, they when you quit on them, you know, he was in breach of contract. Mm-hmm. If I don't go to work for 2 months, I ain't getting paid. You know what I mean?
Right.
They'll pay you your vacation time. That's about it, right? But that's it, and then you're out. He was in breach of contract, and he still got his money. They're pissed, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. By all means, I still feel like I could go grab a beer with. Well, I'm gonna go grab a beer with Colt Cabana, but I'm not gonna grab a beer with CM Punk. We're gonna have a burger in Chicago over at Kuma's. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to Triple H, yeah, he doesn't drink much either, so I guess we'll just have a protein shake. What the hell ever. But yeah, totally. I mean, there's still some things. I just feel that all this stuff is happening.
I like both of those guys. It's so stupid for them. It's so stupid. It's bad for the fans. It's not stupid to them. It's bad for the fans to have to deal with it because people like CM Punk and Triple H for different reasons, just like I do.
Right.
I like them both as workers.
And honestly, that's never really a good way to deal with work. I mean, if there is anything that people out there should know, especially if you're a young person listening to this and you don't have the experience that Stephen and I have, and I'm not saying this to be all fatherly, to put fatherly advice out there, but never grieve your grievances with your employer this way, ever. Never. You want to work and earn money for the rest of your life, right? There are good ways and bad ways to deal with inner office corporate politics and your job. And if you're unhappy with your job, you know, they do things, you know, with human resources and exit interviews and where you can, you know, file your grievances against your employer. So
yeah, don't
just
try
do
to
it
be
the right
cool.
way.
Yeah. Don't try to be cool like that and do that, you know, because I think that is a good point. Kids do that a lot with Facebook and Twitter. Oh God, I went to work today and this, you don't need to do that. And just because CM Punk did it, CM Punk has a lot of money in the bank and he's still screwed up by doing that, you know.
Yep.
Is that a bad example?
I'm a big fan of CM Punk, and it's a shame that this has to happen. And I don't know if that's gonna be, you know, so the other dynamic about this whole situation is the wife, okay, AJ Lee,
right,
and Stephanie McMahon. It's like the two power couples of professional wrestling, Stephanie and Trips, you know, and CM Punk, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my wife is still working for a company, and the company is sour on me. Surely that rubs off on the wife, and the wife is like, you know, I'm sour on the company too. I just want to be let go of my contract. Do you feel that maybe there's some inkling, or maybe you've heard from your sources behind the scenes that AJ is like just kind of being taken off TV to let the rest of her contract run out and for her not to be featured at all?
I don't think they want to. I haven't heard that, but I don't need to hear anything. I see it with my own eyes. I mean, she was definitely the top women's draw for quite a while, besides Stephanie. If you want to, in the Divas division, she was definitely the top draw for a while. Guys fawn over her in a gross way and all this stuff. She has all of this internet heat is my point. She has all this really
She's one of the guys. She's a geek girl.
She's very beautiful and is in shape and doesn't look like a lot of the other divas who are, you know, very whatever. And yeah, absolutely she'd be on TV if this weren't the situation. And if it were a work, it's really brilliantly done. But that might be the way you have to start working things in this day and age. The guy that we put, it's still real to me.
Yep.
There has to be a way for it still to be real to us. That was his
point. And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that they're using, companies have to use social media and outlets like us, other podcasts, in order to work the crowd, because traditional forms of working ain't working. You've pulled the curtain back to a point where people don't know reality from fantasy to a certain degree, you know, with these type of things. And the brain cannot allow myself to feel that any of this is real, because I'm sucked into the entertainment value. That's why we do this show every week, because I find it entertaining. I don't feel any of it Israel, because that's the work of a true carny, right? It's absolutely getting lost in the story. And for me, for someone that I know, CM Punk, and studies the game, understands the game, like Vince McMahon understands the game, and Stephanie and all them, all this is a very expensive work.
Right.
And they have the money and the resources to pull the veil over our heads and work all of these podcasts, because I listen to a lot of wrestling shows. I'm tied in just like you.
Yep.
And this is the new way, the reality era, as they call it. This is how they work us.
Right.
And I refuse to believe any of it because there's too much money on the table to be made that way. You know, like The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, for example, at UFC about 4 years ago.
Brilliant.
You know, that was how it's done.
I bought it. Duh. Bought
it. People buy it.
I bought
right?
it. Yeah,
all I bought the, it. You know, and how many of these people claim to be like true wrestling? You know, I'm wrestling this, and I'm a big, you know, mark, and I do this podcast, and we're sitting there speculating, dude, this is all a work. It is all a work. And you know, those shoot videos, those guys are working all the time.
Absolutely.
They're working all the time.
Absolutely.
Because they want to make an angle. They want to be able to say, I have this feud. I want to be able to work arenas. So I love the speculation, and I love the fact, but I have to think in my to myself, AJ Lee taking a shot. She knows what social media can do.
Right.
She knows that she's married to the pipe bomb. What better way to get herself over to start a hot angle with someone that draws money like Stephanie? Because we all know Stephanie at SummerSlam last year was the real reason people tuned in to see SummerSlam.
Absolutely.
I did. It was the best angle they had going post-WrestleMania and the whole Undertaker thing.
Right.
The fact that Nikki and Brie Bella were to get a rub from that and help elevate their status on Total Divas, a TV show, was completely done that way. It was by design. Let's make no mistake about it. This right here could be the opening salvo into a huge feud with AJ Lee, and the only way that I could see this panning out is, you know, with a payoff at WrestleMania or even SummerSlam, you know, because SummerSlam seems to me like the time for the Divas to shine. So if WrestleMania proper is not the time for that, I would say that SummerSlam will be.
Well, Mr. Go, I'm quite impressed. I never thought of that, and I never heard that. And I think you have a great point. That is quite coincidental. That married couple and that married couple have two different feuds going on at the same time that have nothing to do with the show.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. If that ends up happening, you know, that would be a brilliant money making. Who wouldn't pay to see Triple H against CM Punk at SummerSlam?
My God, it would be the best match ever.
It would be the best match.
It would be. Yeah. Can you imagine husband and wife versus husband and wife, and then break it down? This could be a huge money-making feud for both of them, should CM Punk and his career in MMA not pan out. Okay, the backup. You see, look at what happened to Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. 4 years, people. We waited for that for years, and it came to fruition. But the seeds had been planted. That's right. And then think about this. Vince McMahon, all the issues he's had with Bruno Sammartino, all the issues he's had with Ultimate Warrior, all the issues he's had with Macho Man, all that pales in comparison to what? Doing what's best for business. And in the end, money is king. Cash is king. And no one draws more money like this work, like Stephanie Trips versus AJ and Punk.
Yeah.
4 years from now, 2 years from now, a year from now, 9 months from now, next month, next week, it doesn't matter. The world will stop, and all of this will pay off. So that's my big revelation for the internet. You're welcome. It's my pipe bomb.
That was really great.
No one talks about it. Everyone in the world doesn't talk about it. They all talk about it like it's legit. And I'd say it's not. And even if it is legit, it can be made into a work.
It could be. And the scenario similarly, I'm going to go to UFC. I'm going to go to MMA, whatever it's called. I don't watch that stuff, by the way. I hate to sour everybody. I just find
it's all right.
It's just boring to me, honestly. Nobody wearing a clown outfit, you know. But the best point is that, okay, what happened retroactively? What happened retroactively with the Taker Lesnar thing is they made them look bad 4 years later, right? Oh, we worked you, and I don't think they knew about it, right? Lesnar, the stare down. So retroactively, oh, he knew all along he was doing that while at UFC. That was a little jab from Vince, like, hey, I'm a worker. You don't get me. I worked you, right? Even though you own this company.
Totally.
Because a secret silent feud is between Vince McMahon and Dana White, okay?
That's right.
That's the real feud that we can't put on TV. So if CM Punk is working, he's made to look doubly foolish when he shows up on Raw one night and everyone's like, it was a work. Yeah, I think you got some pretty interesting thing cooking there, my friend. That would be next level. Those are the decade, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, just like the WCW invasion, there is opportunities for that to be a shipwreck. So we will see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I love that invasion. Oh my God, it's Sean O'Hara. Run!
Yeah, watch out. Watch out for the WCW Tag Team Champions. Oh, my God.
He's going to beat up Ron Simmons. Oh, wow. No, never mind.
That ended quickly.
I remember watching that. I was like, this is not ending well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tell you, last bit of news real quick. Next week, we're going to have an awesome show. Just so you know, we're going to be doing probably some reviews, some other things. We're running out of time because this went really long. I just wanted to... I just wanted to read this press release from Destination America and Impact Wrestling from TNA. Now, this is an official press release. It says more than 4 million viewers tune in during the first 4 weeks of premieres. Earlier today, Destination America distributed this press release. It says Destination America recorded its best January ever in primetime HH delivery with series of Impact Wrestling. The all new season kicked off Wednesday, January 7th with Impact Wrestling Live, ranked as Destination America's best Wednesday evening in network history with males 25 to 54. The show also ranked number 6 most social television program for the evening with hashtag Destination Impact, reaching a collective of 73 million impressions on Twitter. Great. Premieres of Impact Wrestling settled into their regular Destination time slot on Fridays, beginning January 16th for the month of January. Impact Wrestling ranked as the number 9th series in ad-supported cable delivery for males 25 to 54 on Friday nights. On Friday, January 23rd, the network garnered its highest rated and most watched Friday evening network history for delivery of males from 25 to 54. And ranked number 3 in sports telecast and cable, only behind NBA basketball and X Games on ESPN, and out-delivering networks including A&E, NGC, ESPN2, TNT, FXX, among males 25 to 54. Throughout January, Impact Wrestling posted record-breaking numbers, delivering an average of 276,000 viewers among 25 to 54. And, so congratulations to TNA and Destination America. The show has gotten better. Yeah. I appreciate the production, the storytelling. I can appreciate the stables, the work that's involved. I think the show is growing, and I'm glad that Destination America put these press releases out so that people can see, hey, look, you know what? We still have a quality product. We have a network that's a fledgling network that's looking to make an impact, pun intended.
Hi-yo.
And and we're seeing fresh new matchups. I mean, Lashley versus MVP on Friday looks to be really good for the the TNA Heavyweight Championship, which looks good. I mean, and I like MVP a lot. I think Lashley's learning a lot, and he's growing and becoming his own character, I think, is good. So good to TNA.
They did a good move taping quite a few episodes in the UK. Their fan base there loves them more than any place. Even Nashville. I say they even get a louder pop than maybe Nashville or Orlando. Just to be very clear, I wanted to say two things. One is that congratulations to them because it looked like they were going to be off of TV for a long time, and that would have cost them their show. I will say, though, that it's going to be a long haul to get back to where they were, when they were with Spike, because they would do about $1 million an episode. Destination America is the issue. They are one of the smaller cable companies, and they are bringing them up. So kudos to them for that, but they're still only gathering perhaps 35 to 40% of their original Spike audience, but they're gaining steam with that, and that's really the only show that seems to play on that network. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they do a really good job of making it. It is the Impact Wrestling Network, and good for them. Yeah. You know, I feel that WWE, for wrestling fans, it's really great to have the WWE app, for one. It's great. It works great. Kristen just got her Roku, so we've got the network on there. I've got it on the PlayStation. I've got it on the iDevices. It works great. Impact is doing a great job, and they have always done a great job of making sure that their YouTube content is fresh. They have great content on their website. It's looking really, really good. Their website is designed really well, easy, clear, navigates well. Pictures are always spot on. I like the featuring of the Impact Top 5, so you know who the top tier wrestlers are at any given moment. Their featured videos, and I do like the addition of Josh Matthews to commentary versus Taz. Those two work great together. I've always been a big fan of Josh Matthews. I think that he got shafted by the WWE, and I think he's an underutilized talent, and that he brings a lot of freshness to their brand. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, they've done a better job. They got big plans for Kurt Angle. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, although anybody that reads the internet knows what I'm probably referring to. But Kurt Angle, you know, they did pull that off, you know, and that might be directly correlated to Samoa Joe not being around. Maybe they didn't have the extra money for that. Also wanted to point out quickly as it relates to last week's show and what we're talking about, that Samoa Joe does have 4 dates for March with Ring of Honor, like we both predicted. And I think it's going to be March 8th. That's his first date. Ring of Honor getting really cool there. They got Alberto Del Rio, although I think he's helping Patron now, you know, he has all these different names. He has a different name in Mexico too, but and he's in AAA in Mexico now. He's all over the place, man. He's really killer. And Ring of Honor gaining some steam too. So a really neat little, you know, for the number 3 and 4 promotion behind NXT, quite honestly, between those two guys there, those two brands. You know, again, I know a lot of those TNA guys. Do I see Impact guys? It's hard to keep remembering to say Impact, but you know, I like that whole family, and you know, Lucy Carter, and I think they're really good people, and I think Hulk Hogan probably led them into a dark abyss money wise that they're trying to claw out of to some degree.
Of course. And you know, they gotta try, you know. So they seem to be on the right track. I happen to agree. I think I heard it on JR's podcast about the creative direction of TNA would be very interesting to see if Tommy Dreamer and Matt Hardy could work together to book a show, because they're both very creative people. And that would be a show that I would watch. And I don't know how much input they have into the direction of the show, but I believe both their minds would be very good. And I don't remember who said that on JR's podcast, but interesting to see.
Dreamer's a very good booker. He's done a lot of his House of Hardcore shows.
Oh, he's great.
Which is really cool. And keeping that whole thing going down there, those ECW guys, man, they just can't get away from ECW. You know,
and you know what? The ECW fans can't get away from it either, because they still know how to deliver and pull at those heartstrings. It's still real to me, damn it.
Well, I miss seeing Masato Tanaka, Yoshihiro Tajiri, Mike Awesome. You know, I miss all of that. I mean, that was the era where they were, you know, not as creative, and I still was marking out. You know, it was a great product, and I'm a big mark for the wrestlers, although they stole all of them from FMW, all the ones I just mentioned. But a great product. Stole the idea, I should say, to some degree, for those feuds, because they already had them. But those are great feuds in Japan or in America.
Well, this show has run long. We have talked a lot. We've got a lot more to talk about. There's always stuff to talk about. So please tune in next week for yet another great edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. There's my announcer voice. So please follow us on Twitter at @PWrestlingCast, also on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast, and also download our shows now available on iTunes, as well as TuneIn, I believe, the TuneIn app. You can also check us out on Stitcher Radio if you're an Android device user. And with all of those, including our YouTube, please like, rate, subscribe, leave us those messages, leave us those comments. We'd love to hear from you, especially with our Google voice, voicemail. You can reach us at 615-933-9792. That's 615-933-9PWC. And until next week, where we are going to do the wrestling book report and reviews with Steven, I'm Al John. And don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Oh, I like that.
Promo of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Dusty Rhodes has been injured. Well, we want to welcome back tonight Dusty Rhodes for his first interview since his injury. Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the resident fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But, brother, I am bad, and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out, because the love that was given me in this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues. Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm gonna take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm gonna take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real wolf champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes fans.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at prowrestlingcast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
And don't forget to send me a postcard from the Muppet Studios.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I can't do that, Walter.
But... Gary.
Because you're coming with us!
Book your next Disney vacation with Kristen Hetzel of Magical Journeys Travel, an unconventional agency for the unconventional client. Magical Journeys is dedicated to finding the best pricing for your next magical journey.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Kristen will work hard to save you money and give you the quality of service you deserve. As a well-established agency and an authorized Disney vacation planner, Magical Journeys Travel has many years in the travel industry and dealing with the infamous Disney reservation system. Let Kristen help you plan your next magical journey. To book travel or for a free quote, please contact Kristen Hetzel at www.magicaljourneystravel.com/Kristen. Follow her on Twitter at Kristen Hetzel.
Right. Come on, everybody.
Magical Journeys, an authorized Disney vacation planner.